Afternoon. So this is the last section of the event for today. So I hope this section can actually help you if you guys, the environment or your organization is looking or thinking about to invest the DR, disaster recovery deployment solution. Okay. So my name is Patrick. So I'm from Softline Solutions. I'm the solution sales architect. And with me, I have Ravi. So he's the cloud solution architect and from the CloudFlex Consulting. Okay. Okay. Who is Softline? Okay. Softline, we are a global managed partner for Microsoft. Okay. And our HQ based in Russia. And we have all the offices across the country that are for the CIS and for the Americas. And then Asia. Okay, Asia's and EMEA as well. All right. So we are also one of the 7 Microsoft LSP partner in Malaysia. So LSP is the licensing solution partner. Okay. What Softline do is we actually do end-to-end solution. All right. We do cover infrastructure solution, Microsoft solutions, cloud solutions, information security, and then licensing, of course, right? And we do consulting and technical support as well, all right? So this is our local APAC services portfolio that we cover all this. We do sell hardware, security, modern workspace, cloud platform, and the consulting. Okay, so this is the agenda we're going to cover today, all right? So the new definition of DR. What do you first thought come in mind where you thought about DR? Okay, so first thing you think about DR is very costly. And DR, does it really help, really work when disasters happen? Okay, and how secure is the data? Right? So the research actually is argue about overconfidence when you set up the DR. Is actually very common and very costly. This is about the research. So on the market, 95% of the people have facing an outage, whereby 87% is actually when they do a DR trigger, right? Trigger a failover. The issue range is actually happen from system failure through the human error, data corrupted, and then unexplained downtime, and then due to the cyber attack, right? So this is the 4 key main thing that when the disaster vectors, security breach, right? System failure, of course, human errors, natural disasters. So how Windows Server 2016 can help with the DR capability? So this is for the first time. Windows Server offer the peace of mind of zero data loss with the ability to synchronize the protect data across on different racks, different floor, different buildings, different campus, different country, and different cities. All right. So when the disaster strike, all your data will exist elsewhere without any possibility of the loss. So on the next slide, we will talk about what is actually Windows Server 2016 provided for the DR capability. All right, so it's storage replica. So when you think about storage replica, it's related to your SAN storage, your iSCSI storage, or your iSCSI SAR storage, those kind of devices. So when you have a storage, when you want to have the so-called the data replication between your on-premises to the DR site. So some of usually the device, the SAN storage or your any of the storage, they require a third-party solutions or third-party tools that to do a storage replica. But with Windows Server 2016, right, it actually comes with these features with the data center version. Okay, how is this storage data work? it will actually replicate your data, and in my next few slides, it will show about what kind of scenario is supported with the storage replica. Okay, so one good thing, Copart, is actually you don't really need to have an identical storage. That means that your A site, you're using your HP storage. The other side, you can actually use Dell or EMC or any other branded of the storage. Then you can actually turn on the storage replica. Okay, so storage replica. First, we'll talk about the stretch cluster. So what is this stretch cluster about? So it's actually doing the a single cluster within two sites. All right, so as you can see, you have a cluster on the left, New York office. So there's a two server connected to a storage, and there's a two server from New Jersey connected to another storage. And both sides on a cluster design, and both the entire thing is actually formed into a single cluster, right? Where the nodes is actually sharing a set of asymmetric storage, and the other side is also on the different different model of the storage. And they actually replicate when the disasters strike happening. It actually, it will fail over automatically using the failover cluster manager, right? Or the PowerShell that actually you do an automatic failover. So it only available in the stretch cluster that allow you to do an automatic failover, because it actually form a single cluster between two sites, so that you don't really need to worry about any of the downtime at all. So across two sites. So anything, any file server you're accessing, or your SQL database or anything, because this is we are talking about data storage. So it will actually having a real-time replication. Okay? So on the next scenario, we have a cluster to cluster, right? So this cluster to cluster is pretty similar with the earlier stretch cluster, but this time we actually replicate the whole entire cluster from the LA office to the other side, Las Vegas, right? And this is it actually doing a replication across, and this scenario can utilize on the storage space direct. So what is the space storage space direct that actually introduced in Windows Server 2016? That you actually can using a software-defined storage, all right, which is they call it storage space direct, and turn it on so that actually it will do a HA within your local server hard disk, right, without actually implement a SAN storage. So this is the cool part that the Windows Server 2016 can allow you to do so, right? So of course, cluster to cluster, since it's actually a whole entire design of the replication. So when the disasters strike, it require a manual intervention of failover, right? It's different than the earlier stress cluster, because the earlier stress cluster is actually a stress across two sides, whereby this one is actually doing a replication. So when a disaster strike, then you require a tool to turn on manually and without any data loss. Okay, third, we have a server to server. So again, you will have a small environment of the setup where you have a local one server connected to your storage, no matter with your shared star storage or your SAN storage or your iSCSI attached LAN storage, and then you actually replicate over to the other building with a identical connection as well. But bear in mind, these two sites, all the replication storage replica, actually not required to have an identical model and a part. Okay, so how actually, when you come to the DR, just now earlier, remember we have a disasters vector, all right? So other than the replication that help for the DR capability, security is also a key important part when come to the DR. So just now we talked about the a system breach or any cyber crime attack or anything. So this is the survey for, okay, you see, 32% cyber crimes of the business reported to be affected by the cyber crime when you trigger a DL, right? So your DL probably may get attacked by cyber crimes, all right? Data breach, 63% of the confirmed data breach involve the weak of like those kind of data, default password or some stolen password, policy, those kind of information that cause the data breach. Okay. And the last part about the shareable IT. So nowadays, a lot of the employee, they're actually using a non-approved SaaS application for work purpose, right? Because they simply bring in their mobile device, or they simply install on any non-approved application into the laptop or anything. So it will actually end up cause the outbreak to the entire network. And then it will actually affect the entire side of the production and the DR as well. Okay. So what security that we are talking about? So I think on the earlier few section, we also talked, some of the presenters also shared about the shielded virtual machine, which is the new features come with Windows Server 2016. So as user traditionally, when you create a virtual machine, no matter you created on the 2008 or 2012, right, you can actually simply to copy the VM, and then just attach to a separate host server and power on it, all right? And in terms of the administrative management, any of the administrator can easily access the virtual machine, all right? So this is the diagram, as you can see. On the physical side, of course, you only have a server administrator. When it comes to virtual machine, all these administrators can actually perform the access directly, I mean, without any interference to the VM. But when it comes to the shielded virtual machine, only the virtual machine administrator can have a full access. So even though you are the administrator of the whole server, okay, and you have a Hyper-V console on it, turn on, and when you try to power up this shielded virtual machine, or you're trying to actually double click to access the shielded virtual machine, everything is not allowed. If you actually show us a gray, the black screen, or it actually not allow you to power on it. So the next slide, we'll talk about how actually the shielded virtual machine manage so that you can actually do all the administration. So, shielded virtual machine, how it works, is actually use the BitLocker to encrypt the disk and state of the virtual machine. So that's why even though you can copy the VHD file or the VHDX file and you bring it to another host, all right, then you, with as long as this is actually created as a shielded virtual machine, no matter you copy to any of the host server or anything, or it's actually disk storage, this VM VHD file, and you try to attach, mount it, or actually try to browse the entire VHD file, you are not allowed to do so because it's actually being encrypted with the BitLocker, right? So again, how you actually manage it? Whenever any of the activity required to power on or any of the related action by shielded virtual machine, it requires you to connect to the host guardian server service, which is actually a separate server, all right? It needs to be installed with Windows Server 2016, and you turn it on. So with this hosted guardian services, it's actually like a middleman. So anything you require to request to this host guardian service in order to do automation of the power on or in terms of the you want to actually access the VM. Okay. So, and shielded virtual machine supported only in generation 2 VM. So if let's say you have an existing VM which is running on generation 2, you can actually do a conversion to convert into shielded. But the best practice by Microsoft is better to create a new shielded virtual machine rather than you do a conversion from existing Gen 2 VM. And what is, okay, just now we talked about shielded virtual machine, right? What kind of technology is actually using? is actually, because since we talk about the BitLocker, he actually support the TPM, we call it virtual TPM. So TPM stands for Trusted Platform Mobile. Okay. So what it do? So it actually do the encryption across your shielded virtual machine to via the technology of the BitLocker. So this is one of the shielded virtual machine, right? So when you try to power on, okay, what you will do? You actually try to talk to the contact to the host guardian service. Hey, please, sir, may I have some key? Right, it's actually require a key and certificate in order to do the collaboration between the the VM and the host guardian service. So when you send a request, the next what it will do, the host guardian service will actually respond, oh sure, I know you and you look healthy. Because earlier you actually applied for all the requirement in order to communicate with the host guardian service. So the criteria to meet is actually you need to know the physical machine, right? And trusted Hyper-V instance, the instance. And there's of course the CI compliant configuration. So next, we will talk about the Windows and Azure backup. All right, it's also related to the DR capability as well. So what 2016 provided and actually enhanced? They actually, when it comes to 2016, Microsoft enhanced a lot on the DR capability, right, to actually, in terms of the cost saving, right? So with the Windows Server 2016, you don't actually require to invest a lot of the thing or require a third-party tools for your DR capability. So what the actually the DR will do, the Windows 2016 enhanced on the DR side is actually you have a better resiliency, right? So what is this about? It actually, you can back up the virtual machine using the storage space direct, again, is the software-defined storage, and achieve the better resiliency for the Hyper-V. Okay, since it's leveraged on the local software-defined storage. Okay, and next, it actually support mixed cluster environment. So again, I mentioned earlier, it doesn't need to meet the identical hardware for both, actually, your production and your DR. And you also increase the report on the auditing and reporting when it comes to your DPM. So DPM actually is your data protector management, SCDP. It can be the system center to actually handling your backup. So it also support to backup your Linux virtual machine. Initially, when it comes to the previous version of the Windows, when you want to backup a Linux virtual machine, you always have a challenge, your guest virtual machine. So you always require a third party tool such as your Symantec or any of the RServe or any of the third party in order to backup your Linux. But 2016, with the DPM, you can actually backup your Linux virtual machine. And it fully support on the cloud-based backup. So you actually can leverage on Azure backup to protect your system center, data protection manager on-prem and the workload. So that means that when you perform any of your backup, you can actually straight away backup to the Azure without investing and invest any of your local tape drive or your local disk. So everything just backup to your Azure storage and encrypted VM backup. So anything with your, remember just now we talked about shielded virtual machine, so you can easily backup and recover your VMs, right, with the DPM. So this is the traditional enterprise class backup cover. So when you want to deploy a backup, first thing, you will have a DPM in place, right? And what DPM will do, it can backup on the application level, application aware backup, and it will backup the virtual machine, and you also can do the files, folders, and volume backup. Where all this backup, which running on Windows Server, Windows Client, your Hyper-V VM, your Azure IaaS VM, and also VMware VM. So how you will backup? Again, traditional, you have a backup to either from your on-premises, backup to a secondary data center, and also you can have another off-site backup through the Azure storage as well. So this is the entire enterprise class backup components, the entire class backup that cover on. So when it comes to recover business critical data, how actually the DPM will help you? So during the initial replica, it actually create the point base, a baseline copy of your full server, the VM backup, to actually initiate a replica. Okay, then move data from time to time, DPM will check on synchronize the data if let's say there's incremental changes on the server level. So after they actually synchronize the data, if you create a recovery point, and to so that when later when you want to do a retrieve on the recovered data, it will actually just recover the data from the recovery point that actually created by the DPM. All right, and all this done by the visa itself. So that means that you, if you have a backup, so traditionally when you want to do a restore, you definitely require to restore a full backup to the server. Then after that, you have to retrieve your the incremental file level incremental file that to restore it to match it to merge it to a complete restore. Where with DPM, you actually don't require to do such two or three steps to do a restoration. You just require to point to the recovery point. Just actually choose on the recovery point that you want to restore the data, choose on it, and the recovery point will actually call the baseline copy automatically, without you to perform any additional step. Then go through the wizard, it will help you to recover the entire thing that you want to restore. So with 2016, it's easily, you can actually do an integration with the OMS, the new Microsoft Cloud Solution Operation Management Suite that allow you to do the automation, backup, and support on the disaster recovery with the minimum operating system expense, operating expenses across your data center and your Azure cloud deployment. OMS is pretty similar. It's a cloud base to actually equivalent to your on-prem system center. All right, whereby this is in the cloud. It's a subscription base. So you it don't require you to create a VM, to invest on the hardware to do the system center deployment. Because when people think about system center deployment, it's a huge investment when you come to deploy a full suite of system center. But with this OMS, you don't require you to actually invest any hardware at all. So what OMS will do is actually it will do the seamless integration with existing backup and the recovery investment. Right. Of course, it do the automation protection and replication of the virtual machine, which we will cover later. It's actually called using the technology of ASR, Azure Site Recovery. Right. And any data that you backup, any applications data or your server or anything recovery, you backup to the Azure, is covered with 99 years of retention because it's actually do a replication across dual redundancy. So your data is not only storing in a single location. It's actually stored across all the Microsoft data center to have a replicate copy. So that's why you have a dual replication and 99 years of retention with the Azure backup. In the traditional backup, when you backup to your tape, all right, if your tape gone or anything corrupted with your tape data, everything is gone. So you only have a single copy. But with Azure backup, if one side data center is down on the Microsoft, you always have a additional copy in a dual redundancy places of the data center. So you walk through a quick video. So and Ravi is going to actually talk about the Azure backup. He will give you some, because this is actually a demo walkthrough. So during the video sharing, it will actually walk through the entire some setup about the Azure backup.
All right, so we are going to take a quick look at how to create the backup Azure Site Recovery Vault. So you go to the Azure portal, click on New, and go to Data Services. And from there, you can choose Recovery Services and choose the Backup Vault. Now, it will give you one option of creating, doing a quick create, where you can specify a unique name for the specific purpose, like SQL or whatever. And then you can choose the region on which you want to do the backup. Traditionally, this will be the region which is closest to you. So for us, it'll be Southeast Asia, which is the data center located in Singapore. Once you choose the region, you go ahead and click on Create Vault. That would create the container in Azure Site Recovery Backup Vault, all right? So once this is done, the next step is to click on the Recovery Vault that we just created, which will open the quick creation screen, or the quick action screen of the vault. So for example, in here, this will walk us through the steps required to establish or create the backup. The first step is to download what is called as a vault credential. Basically, this is the file that will authenticate your backup agent to your Azure subscription, or the backup vault, to be specific. All right? You click on the link, it'll give you an option to save a file, which you can save it to a specific location. Once you have saved, the next step is to basically choose between a couple of options. You need to download the backup agent. There are a couple of options here. First option is to basically download it for the Windows Server, or the second option is to download it for the System Center. Or if you don't want, you can use it. The other option is to download it for Windows Server Essential. So in our case, we will download the agent for the first scenario. So once you download the agent, is it running slow? All right. Seems like it's running really slow. Okay, so you click on the download link and start the download process. You can save it or you can run the installation. It'll come up with the location for install. You can choose the default or you can change the location, and then click Next. In here, it'll ask you for the proxy settings. If you are going to back it up using a proxy server, you can specify the proxy server, or you can. If there are no proxy settings, you can click Next. It'll show the prerequisites that are required to install the agent, and it'll ask your permission to install them. You can click Install and start the installation process, which takes about 30 to 45 seconds. And once that is done, you need to proceed to register. So the agent has been installed. You need to register the agent to the vault that you created. Okay. So when you click on that link, what it will do is it will launch a pop-up where you need to specify the vault credentials that you downloaded in step one. All right. So you search for the file and you select it. Once you select the file and click OK, oh, sorry. Hold on. Okay. So once you select the vault credential, it will show you the backup vault name, the region, and the subscription identifier. You can verify this. And then click on Next. In the next screen, it will show you the passphrase. So basically, when the data is being transferred from your backup server to the Azure Vault, it needs to be encrypted. So this encryption happens using the passphrase that you specify in this location. All right? So this location, you can either manually input the passphrase, or you can click on this button to generate a random passphrase for you. All right? Either way, once the passphrase is generated, you need to save that passphrase in a secure location. Now, without this passphrase, you cannot passphrase file. If it is lost, the backup that you make to Azure will not be recoverable. All right? So this is very important to store this file in a secure location. And then you can click Next. All right? So it'll go through the registration process. And once the registration is completed, you click Close. Basically, it will launch the Azure Backup Agent screen, which is basically the backup screen where you can schedule backups or recover data, et cetera, from the action pane and the right-hand side. So we will go ahead and launch the schedule backup wizard, where you can click Next and choose the items that you want to backup. So in this case, I'll click on Add Item and see. Excuse me, and since these are local items, I can choose one of the volumes. In this case, I will choose a volume that is there available, and then I'll click OK. And in the next screen, it'll give me the frequency or the time at which I need to take the backup. So I have three options. First of all, I can choose a daily or weekly backup. And for daily backup, it gives me three options. So I can choose whatever the frequency or the time that I want, and then click Next. All right, in this screen, this is where you specify the retention policies. Basically, it has four different categories: daily, the number of days, weeks, months, and years. So by default, it fills up based on how many backups that you're creating, it fills up the values here, which you can change based on, for example, how many backups that you're taking. You can change the number of days it needs to be retained, weeks, months, and years. If you want to modify, you can click on the Modify button, and you can choose basically which time of the backup that it needs to run. All right, so once the modifications have been made, there are a couple of options available for you. If the data is too big, you can basically choose offline backup, meaning you can back it up to a disk and ship it to the Azure data center, or you can choose to back it up over the network. In this case, we will choose the backup over network option, and then click Next. Oh. All right, so once I click on Finish, it'll go ahead and start the backup process. Now, this is a backup process when the schedule is arrived. So this is a scheduled backup. What I can do is I can do a impromptu or ad hoc backup. So let's say I'm doing an IT maintenance operation. I want to initialize the backup immediately, I can do so by clicking on the Backup Now option here, and it'll be initiating the backup immediately. All right, so it'll go through the paces of preparing, and then finally, it'll complete the backup. All right, so once the backup is completed, you can see that there are some resources that have been utilized, and you can see the status of the backup jobs and everything in the backup screen itself. All right, so that completes the backup demo. Let's move on to Azure Site Recovery, the actual Azure-based DR capability. Now, Azure Site Recovery is a service that is running in Azure. It is not an on-premise service. It is a service that lives in Azure, but it is capable of coordinating DR activities in your on-premises environment. So what is it basically? I'm not going to go deep into Azure Site Recovery because that itself is a single day or couple of days session. All right, so it allows you to plan the source and the destination infra that you want to do the DR between. It allows you to map the source and the destination network and storage. Basically, you can have a 10-dot series subnet in the source, and the DR, you might have 192 series subnet. So it allows you to map those subnets. What happens when I do the failover? It allows you to plan for that. How does it help is basically it walks you through a wizard kind of a implementation where you can get to specify the source and the destination, network, storage, et cetera. And the next thing is that it allows you to replicate using variety of technologies. For example, in Windows Server Hyper-V, it uses Hyper-V replica technology. If you have existing SAN replication methodologies, it uses SAN replication as well. If you want to replicate physical server and VMware servers, it uses the InMarge agent that Microsoft acquired a while back to backup or replicate the source servers to the destination. It also allows you to monitor the replication and helps you in alerting if there are any replication failures or if there are any issues, okay? The best part about ASR is that you can completely automate a DR playbook. So when in the event of a DR, the first thing that we do is we open up our DR playbook, which could be pages and pages of information, and start executing them one by one like a checklist, right? So all those operations, you can automate it using the orchestration capability of Azure Site Recovery. Basically, you can choose, okay, out of the four servers that I'm replicating to DR, I need AD server to be the first one to fail over, followed by the database server, followed by the middleware server, and followed by the front-end server. Because if database server fails over before AD, there is no point, right? It comes up and it fails without the AD server in place. So it allows you to do that. If you want to, let's say, run some scripts to do the operations, it allows you to do that. And finally, ASR allows you to do DR drills with zero downtime, okay? So basically, when you initiate a test DR drill or a simulation, what it does is it does not disturb the source and the destination or the replication that is going on. What it does is, from the Azure side, it makes a copy, it creates all the resources and brings them online on the Azure side without disturbing, so that you can log into the virtual machines, test everything is as expected, and then when you click on a button, it destroys everything, and all these happen without additional costs for you. All right? So these are some of the high availability or disaster recovery solutions that are baked into Windows Server. The first level of high availability is provided by Hyper-V failover cluster in the server level. You can create Hyper-V failover clusters at the physical host level. And then the second level of high availability is at the virtual machine level clusters, where you might have, let's say, a SQL cluster or a file server cluster. You can create on top of the Hyper-V cluster as well. The third level is that you can do ad hoc backups using Windows backup application. And if you have more than, let's say, 5 or 10 servers, and you want a centralized console from where you can manage all these backup, you have DPM, or the Data Protection Manager, from the System Center suite that allows you to do this operation. The next is that you can continue doing the local backup and send the long-term backup all the way up to directly to Azure. And as far as the DR is concerned, you can replicate all the virtual machine and physical servers from one data center to another using Azure Site Recovery, which in turn is running from Microsoft Azure. So this picture gives you the entire end-to-end disaster recovery capabilities of Microsoft Windows Server and the ecosystem. All right, so I'm just going to quickly run through a couple of supported scenarios in case you have questions. So the first is that you can back up Windows Server from on-premise. It could be a virtual machine or a physical server to Microsoft Azure or to a secondary DR data center or to a service to a VMM cloud. Let's say you have a VMM cloud on the other side, you can back it up. If you have a physical server, you can back it up to Microsoft Azure directly using InMarch, or you can back it up to a secondary site. If, let's say, you have a VMware server, you can back it up to, or you can replicate it to Microsoft Azure, or to a secondary site that also has VMware on the other side, or you can back it up to a service provider VMware environment as well. All right, the replication technologies that it supports, the ASR supports, are SAN replication and Hyper-V replica for Windows Server. For VMware, it uses the InMarch agent for replication. And this is a quick overview of how the whole operation or the process happens. As you can see, the service itself lives in the cloud, and it does the orchestration or the control by installing agents on these physical servers in the source and the destination. And using those agents, basically it triggers the replication from one site to another. So the data does not cross over to Azure and back to the DR site. The data is replicated directly between production and DR site, whereas the metadata, meaning the name of the servers, IP addresses, the storage information, those information cross over from the site to the Azure Site Recovery. It stores just the metadata, none of the actual information. All right? So let me quickly do a demo walkthrough. So similar to backup, you go to the recovery services and click on new. And at this time, you choose Site Recovery Vault. You do a quick create. You mention the name and choose the region, similar to the backup vault that you created. And once the creation is done, you go into that vault. And similar to the backup vault, right, it gives you step-by-step instructions on how to enable or go about it. So it gives you a bunch of scenarios that you can enable it for, like between on-premise to, between on-premise VMM site to Azure, Hyper-V to Azure, VMware to VMware, physical to Azure, etc. So you can choose one of those scenarios. Based on the scenario that you choose, the steps will automatically change. In our case, we will choose Hyper-V site to Azure. What it will do is, it will basically ask you to create something called as a Hyper-V site. So when you click on it, it will basically pop up a window on which you give a name and say OK. And in here, you need to start adding the Hyper-V servers. So the next step is to basically go and prepare the Hyper-V servers. Again, similar to backup, what you need to do is you need to download an agent. All right, so you go and download the agent, run the agent on each of the Hyper-V servers, and then you download the registration key so that the agent knows which vault to connect to. All right? Once you do that, you can run the agent setup, and you can specify the vault. All right, so the next step is to create a storage account. Oh. There. You create a storage account in which the replicated virtual machines will be stored, and then you go ahead and specify the source virtual network details. Basically, you can choose the virtual network name and the location where the Azure network will be placed. All right? The next operation is to specify the DNS server for that network and the IP address subnet name. Once the network is created, the next step is to go ahead and create a protection group. So in here, I'm installing the agent. And I walk through the configuration screen where I can basically register the agent using the vault credential that I downloaded previously. So I verify the details, and I can move on to the next screen. Once the agent has been registered, automatically the server will show up in the Hyper-V site. So the next step is to create what is called as a protection group. Basically, you group a bunch of virtual machines under a same logical container so that you can perform certain operations. All right? So you choose the source. Target of the source site from where you want to backup, and replicate, and choose the target to which you want to replicate, the subscription that you want to use, and the storage account in which the replicated virtual machines should be stored. All right? So once you choose that and move on to the next step, the next step is to choose how frequently it replicates. So you choose the replication frequency, the recovery points. Basically, it creates what is called as recovery points so that you can restore it back to a specific time frame. All right? So in here, I'm choosing 4. And then do I want to do an application consistency snapshot? All right, I'm doing 1 hour application consistency, and I'm choosing to replicate the data immediately. All right, so once that is done, it'll start replicating. It'll create the protection group, and the next step for me is to go ahead and add the virtual machine, and at any given time, I can choose the settings and change them later as well. All right, so that completes the creation of the Azure Site Recovery services. All right, any questions, anything? Okay, perfect. So.